I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched The Ruins. The Ruins is a 2008 natural horror film directed by Carter Smith and written by Scott B. Smith, based on his 2006 novel of the same name. A leisurely Mexican holiday takes a turn for the worse when a group of friends and a fellow tourist embark on a remote archaeological dig in the jungle, where something evil lives among the ruins.
Are they related?
I don't think so, no.
Hang on, are you asking if Carter Smith and Scott B. Smith are related?
Yep.
Because they have the most common surname in the world.
Oh, it's not that common. How many Smiths do you know?
Five.
Damn it. He's got me. He's always got you.
Fuck. Actually, I know more because one of those five, there's like six in that family.
I'm trying to think of the Smiths that I know. There are a couple.
I actually don't think I do know any Smiths.
We just will.
Oh, you mean ones that you have heard of?
Yeah.
Like Stephen Smith. And,
yeah.
I just heard of two just now.
Yeah, I actually know a Stephen Smith.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yes. Yep. Carter Smith.
That kid that they've got. What's the
Jaden,
kid?
Jaden Willow.
Smith. Willow.
I know a lot about the Smith family.
Yeah.
Agent Smith.
Agent Smith.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Mr. and Mrs. Smith in the TV show.
If you were to count Agent Smith, Matrix Reloaded, that's hundreds of Smiths.
Wow. Oh,
that's hundreds, that's thousands of Smiths.
To be fair, they are related, though, Smiths.
This is true.
Yeah.
Just as these two are probably related.
They probably are.
Yeah, probably.
There's probably a bit of
I like to think that Scott B. Smith wrote the book and then his dad, Carter Smith, said, no, his son, his 15-year-old son said, I'll take the reins, Dad. I've got this.
I loved the first version of that he wrote the book and then his like 60-year-old dad was like, I think I'm going to make one movie.
I'm going to have a crack at directing.
I'll do a few things. Well, I will tell you, the rights for the movie were sold before the book was even finished.
Jeez.
And part of that is because Scott B. Smith is basically mates with Ben Stiller.
Ah, he produced this.
Oh, Ben Stiller's the producer.
Yeah. I absolutely get why that would happen, though. This has got big, like, it's a pulp horror novel. It's a cool concept. Yeah. It's the early 2000s. Yeah. This movie writes itself. Like, if I'm a studio in the early... Now, this is probably a bit harder to make. But in the early 2000s, when they just fucking made everything, also they'd get a tax write-off if they made movies set in Mexico and Australia, which I fucking clocked immediately.
Are you sure this is Australia?
Tom did very well.
I was like, this is Australia. Those mountains are the most Gold Coast mountains I've ever seen. What did we look at? Bang. Where was it filmed? Hollywood on the Gold Coast.
Yes. You know, it wasn't until you said it was Australia, and then it very obviously was, that I remembered like reading about it in Empire magazine.
Yeah.
Where it was like this big, Ben Stiller's bringing his big production. Yeah, yeah. I even remember that Ben Stiller was the producer on it. Also,
yeah,
came
well, we have one
back.
At the moment. I don't know exactly when this episode's going to come out, but there's a Liam Neeson film getting done in Valhalla, I want to say.
Oh, in a tiny town.
And holy shit, something like...
Wait, are they actually making Liam Neeson movie
now,
in Valhalla?
Do you know what the movie is?
It's a
sequel to the Ice Road Trucker thing he did,
isn't it? Really?
Because I loved that movie. I thought that was really good.
That's such a Sean Carney movie.
I think in my review I said it's your uncle's favourite movie.
Ah, okay.
It's got that vibe.
Your uncle Sean Carney.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it's like, because it's like Walhalla or something like that.
Yeah.
But they're setting it up to be obviously wherever this was set.
Yeah. I can't remember where
like
it was.
Alaska or like somewhere crazy. Because I remember going, how is Walhalla meant to look like this?
Yeah.
And they've basically got like this set on this street where they've really done the whole thing. But like all the photos of these Aussies take it, like, because I get Screen Australia emails and that sort of stuff. And it's been peppered through all these things. Everyone's so chuffed about it. And Liam Neeson, bless his soul, is like, there's a million photos of just the most happiest looking people, like thumbs up. And he's just there sort of in the middle.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, so I know funny. This is a celebrity life, but man, I'm like, oh, look at our little country.
Yeah, doing good. He's a truck driver with a heart of gold.
Okay.
Yeah. Doing dangerous missions.
Is it dangerous enough to be counted as a horror movie?
I'll make sure it is.
Year of Passion.
That's very much not.
Hey, Walhalla's Haunted, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. That's the one that
Jackson wanted to take us there.
Is that place?
Yeah. It's an abandoned mining town?
Yes.
In the olden times.
Yes, those olden times. Yeah, yeah.
Liam Neeson. 1996.
Should we head over and just say hello to Mr. Neeson?
Suss it out, yeah. I'll tell him that I love The Grey.
Yeah.
We should do The Grey this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, year of passion, baby. That Let's bring
that's
it
a big passion of mine. Lock it in. It's done.
All right, sorted.
Yep.
Guys, get ready for that.
Yep.
Get in there. Don't get in the ruins.
So you did very well to pick out the Australian Anna of it all. And then there was a bit right at the end.
Yeah, where if you weren't sure.
If you weren't sure. And they must have kept it in the shot because like, yeah, it makes it look more tropical. But for any Australian out there, you're like, that's a fucking kookaburra.
Yeah.
That's a crazy thing to leave in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carter, what are you doing? I'm going to look at what other movies Carter's made so I can,
please make do. I'm pretty sure this was his first project.
Shows.
Could be because he's related to our other Smith. Yeah, look, I don't think it was terribly filmed. It was just sort of what you expect, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So this is a very well-renowned book.
Yeah.
I've heard about this book often. I own the book.
You bought it at a Scaredy Boys retreat.
It's funny. It's one of those ones that I could have easily bought on Amazon or whatever at some point, but I was like, no, I want to find it in a bookshop.
In the wild.
And then we found it on a Scaredy Boys retreat in like a old church that was flogging books for $3 and stuff, and amazing DVDs for 50 cents. And I found an old copy of it and was keen to read it. Have seen the film, now less keen to read it, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
I've also heard it mentioned on the Talking Scared podcast as being a really graphically violent, disturbing read. So it makes me want to read it even less. And then having seen the film, I of course know what they're alluding to.
Right. Well, I looked up the synopsis today to sort of see the difference between the two. And it's like the plot is actually very similar in terms of the graphic, horrible things that happen. They just happen to slightly different characters. That's really the main difference.
Okay.
And then the ending is different. The ending is different from what's in the film.
I find it really interesting because the book is, every time I've heard the book come up, it's talked about like it's really fucking good. That's what has always made me want to read it.
The book could still be really good.
Oh, no, I'm sure. I'm actually sure that it would be. I'm sure it's really well written and stuff. But so he wrote the screenplay as well. Yes. And I find the writing of this film to not be very good.
Yeah. As in like from the, like what part was it? The characterization?
Characterization is a bit of a letdown for me, I think.
Yeah.
But I have heard about the book too, that they're all unlikable sort of people. Yeah. But even to be unlikable, I don't think that they make good choices. The stuff, we'll talk about that later. Yeah, one in particular that drives me fucking crazy.
You got very upset.
I think it's a wasted potential of an idea.
Yeah.
There's just, I don't know. My overall feeling from it is just like, I don't think they did a great job with the script on this.
Interesting.
One. They're not helped too by the cast that they have.
I
think quite limited in what they can do.
But I think that's also the nature of the time that this movie is made and the era of horror movies that this movie was made in.
But good actors still exist in every time period.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sean Ashmore's in this, mate.
Yeah.
All right. He's in Animorphs and also X-Men.
He's not the worst actor in it, I think.
No.
He
no,
does
no.
okay.
He does fine.
Okay to an extent.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I feel like because it's obviously near, because of the period you're talking about, like where it's like, if it's a horror, they've got to be teens. End of. Don't even question it. Where I really feel if they just had a few more years on them and like were like slightly more capable under pressure, because this is extreme pressure. And obviously Dr. Man's trying to be the most capable dude ever. But because they'd like leaned into the teens and they're on holiday and sex and a hand job, we'll talk about in a minute.
Man, the like, hand job of that's fuck. Yeah, sorry, Damo.
No, I
was just thinking about that hand job.
That's on me. I said that knowing this is Tom is going to get latched onto this because it's
latched on like hands on a dick giving a hand job.
But yeah, I really think if they were just like, even just like at the end of their uni, like literally about to graduate or whatever, maybe they were, but either way, if they had like that touch more maturity. or even just that was the personality type for them, where it still felt a little too teen for me, and that's where I had a bit
I'm with you on that, big time, because I think, like you said, it's an extreme situation. Take people who are either quite capable or at least vaguely capable and really test them, because that's where the interest and the tension and drama will come from. Whereas the was he a doctor?
Yeah.
The doctor guy was the only one with really any capability. Yeah. The others were utterly useless.
Yes.
And it just becomes frustrating and repetitive to watch that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Where some of the horrors that we've seen, the best ones have actually been the characters, like when we get to the where they wise or foolish, like 100% wise. It's just such a hard fucking situation.
Yeah.
And it's way more interesting to see capable people come up against like this near impossible goal, but maybe they'll do it. There's still that hope. Yeah. There's still, because they're fucking proven to be capable.
Competent people against like an unstoppable force, basically. Right.
Where for this one, you felt like, by the midpoint, you're like, well, they're fucked. So I guess we're just going to watch them be fucked for the next whatever. Whereas
for me, it's definitely more interesting to find satisfaction in them overcoming the little obstacle and then meeting the next bigger one.
Those
and the bigger
wins.
One. And, whereas there's not, I suppose there's, well, are there little wins here? Not really.
I don't think there are. And no. They, every time they get a win,
like the closest was you get away, but there was always such a big cost to them getting back to the status quo of where they were, of being trapped on top of this thing.
Yeah, and also they establish early on that their goal is weight, because if they wait, someone will either notice they didn't get on the flight, that's in 2 days.
Right.
But the Greek guys will notice their friend didn't come back and their flight's tomorrow. Like, their strategy is weight, and it's not a dumb strategy. We're getting way in the weeds. of the whole situation. But I think you're right. I think in the scenario they're in, it is hard to give them wins. So I think if you made them all more competent and then a few who weren't as competent,
right,
and then you raise the stakes by slowly picking off the competent ones every time they tried something new until the last people left were not the competent ones.
Well, you're right. Like, the doctor guy really, in a better story, I think, would get knocked off fairly early. But that you can't do it in this, because then you'd be left with just three dipshits.
Three chickens with their heads chopped off. Yeah. Like, So I found that quite frustrating. And I think, like, plot-wise, it's not the worst, like we said. Like, I think that,
creepy.
It's creepy. So, like, definitely the part that I most appreciated. So, for me, this may be 2.5. And I think almost all that 2.5 is the premise, is the setup, and is the villain. Which
design.
I did not expect this plant. When once I didn't even know this was a...
No, I didn't know it was a plant.
A bit of a background for us watching this. We basically were at Tom's place, and we were like, let's watch a horror movie. And we just sort of browsed through the various options from the streamers you're signed up to.
Yep.
And ended up on this somehow. Yeah. We sort of had some that
it
were
was,
like-
I think, to do with when it was late, and it was like, if I check the runtime on this bad boy,
the runtime definitely played.
Yeah, it's 90 minutes
in the
on
selection
the
of this movie. Yeah,
that was a big part. There was
that's
a couple,
how professionals do, all right, guys.
Hey, there were a couple we were circling that looked like better times for us, and one of them was 110 minutes, and we went, not tonight, Satan.
It's got the chop.
Well, I can't remember what that movie was. I was excited about it.
Yeah, you were, and I crushed your heart.
Does not matter anymore. We'll never watch it.
We'll never know.
Yeah. No, we'll never know.
Yeah. I think it was The Shallows. I think The Shallows is 100 minutes.
Was it that one?
Might have been The Shallows, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Why did I say no to The Shallows?
Don't know.
Why did I say yes to the... I think the Ruins appealed to us.
It's too late in the day for me to be getting horny.
Yeah, I think also the Ruins appealed because I heard a bit about it, but also, the book.
The book.
Kind of reputation of it.
That title popped up and we all sort of knew a little bit about it without really knowing anything. Yeah.
So I really didn't know. I knew less than that because I actually didn't know anything other than you owned the book, but I hadn't even looked into what it was. So when it was like, oh, the most evil thing here is the plants, I was like, interesting. Let's see how they... And I said, have we ever watched an evil plant movie? And Tom, you quite wisely and correctly pointed out Dr. Terror's House of Horrors.
Yep.
And
this is up there with that.
Oh, please. That's the best plant horror I've ever seen. This sits alongside it.
Yeah.
All right? In the pantheon of great plant horror movies.
Does The Happening fall into that?
The Happening is technically plants.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Yeah. No, I'll pay that.
That is a casting director just went insane. And went, I'm going to pair no one has chemistry with anyone else in this movie.
What is chemistry? I've never heard of it.
What kind of teacher is Wahlberg in that one? Is he a science teacher?
I think he's a history teacher.
I think having him as like an academic in any way is just a dumb idea.
It's a joke. Yeah.
He makes sense when he's playing a criminal who's become a priest, because he's a criminal who's now turned to God and he doesn't have to act much for it. I know that in our lifetime, we will get a Mark Wahlberg movie where 9/11 doesn't happen the way it does. I know in my heart that he's itching to make a movie where he is on the plane.
Yeah.
That is still my favorite, most psycho thing I know about another person.
Ludicrous.
Is that he genuinely believes that if he was on the plane, wouldn't have happened.
No, happened. Wouldn't have happened.
Wouldn't have gone down that way.
Wasn't there a thing Seth MacFarlane was supposed to be on that plane as well?
Oh, right.
Really?
Yeah, shit. Same plane. Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy.
I think it came up because he was asked about the Wahlberg thing and he was just like, it's fucking crazy.
I've worked with the guy twice.
Yeah.
In Ted. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I think the most interesting thing about this villain is that it is his plant, but then it acts in a way that I wasn't expecting it to either. Yeah. Which is that the little things they do, so it's like, okay, we work out the plants are clearly the problem. Maybe they infect you and drive you crazy. We get a smash shot at the start of the film of a girl like looking around like, no, please, no. And then she screams and is dragged away.
Yeah.
And so you're like, okay, maybe the plant does something to you. We see a body up top. Mm-hmm. It's all fucked up. We're like, okay, the plants are definitely something. You touch the plant, the villagers get angry. For it to actually just be, no, the plant is the thing.
Yeah.
Really clever. And the little flowers that imitate... Oh, that's creepy as shit.
The mimicry of the voices.
Yeah, and the phone.
Yeah, and these are all things that aren't apparent straight away. It kind of threads them through. It's doing different things the whole way through. So it does have that thing that we kind of like where the monster keeps changing in
a
sense.
Yes,
we're just getting it in a kind of different way.
Yeah, yeah.
That was easily the most interesting part of
Agreed.
The film.
Agreed. Yeah. Well, I'll ask you a question then.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Were we scared?
No. Yeah, the plant was creepy. Creeped out.
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no? I think I'm going to say yes, aided by... When it got grot, it got real grot.
If I have to pay grot, then yeah, I was scared.
I think the leg
thing, absolutely disgusting.
I think if you want to look away from the screen.
Did not want to look at the screen, but yeah. I respect cinema, so
the leg amputation.
Yeah.
I also hated the pulling the vine out of her leg.
Oh, yeah.
That was, that's that thing, you know, that there's that thing, that parasite, that's that guinea worm.
Yes.
And to get it out, you have to entice it out with a stick and then slowly wind the stick and it can grow like.
Where do you find those?
I think in Africa.
Okay.
It's not New Guinea?
I think.
Is the guinea worm?
It could be in a few places.
Okay.
But yeah, you wind it out on a stick slowly.
Is that the only way to get it out?
Well, because if you pull, it'll snap.
You still got a worm in you.
And you still got the worm in you.
Because there's the segmentation, so horrendous. You can snap it, but there's still
horrendous.
Yeah.
Or worse, if you snap and it dies, it then becomes infected and you can't get it out now.
Right. And so like by playing plant as parasite, that was really the trick because parasites are like, it's like one of those, like you describing that made me literally shudder. Like that's revolting.
Yeah.
And they managed to get that feeling across with this plant.
I'm going to look up the guinea worm. Sorry, go on.
Do that. I also think like having the locals down the bottom willing to do whatever they need to stop them from leaving this thing and spreading this horrific plant was such a great little setup of trapping them there. Like, that's...
It's a great lock-in device.
It's a little great lock-in device, especially when you, like, the first guy comes and he's yelling at them, blah, 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 and then we see, I think, Dimitri, they shoot him, and you're like,
He steps forward and bang. Fuck? Yeah. And then how far into the film is it that the kid who's with them...
Yeah, not too much further.
Yeah, and they shoot him in the head.
Yeah.
And it's like fucking
she
hell.
Throws the plan at the kid. And I love that too, because then again, we see this grow over the course of the thing. It's like, it's not just... that you might propagate it, take a bit and plant it somewhere else. As soon as it's touched you, its spores are on you. And like the way the clothes slowly grow with this sort of moss or whatever it is, fucking great. Like, this is where this movie did enough to get me to 2.5 stars for the ideas and some of the execution of those ideas, but never for the story.
Yeah, it's a bit 2008. You know?
Yeah. None of us were making great decisions in 2008.
2008 was a financial crisis. Melma took Jack Watts with the number one pick. You know, what's happening?
Come on.
What's happening? A lot of mistakes.
How Good's Footy, new episodes every
Wednesday.
Yeah, it's funny how they don't ever really seem to comment on the clothes becoming more and more fucked.
Yeah, because four of us were collectively commenting on it quite a bit because we thought, wow, that's gross and impressive.
How do they not comment
on it? I think they do, but they're just like... By a lot of that point, they're just done.
Yeah,
they're just done.
And that, again, this is part of the problem for this thing is definitely was horrific. And that back half was, like you said, the leg amputation, truly awful to have to, the build up to it, them doing it, the way the plant fucking takes the legs away when they're done, all grot levels very high. And then for me, the worst part was when they're cutting them out of the girl. That was horrible to watch because that is pure parasite. So I'm like, that is, we're watching a parasite get removed from this person. And then she's like, there's one in my head and you see it. And then you see it under the skin.
It's disgusting.
And the look they all share, and she's like, you saw it, didn't you? And they're like, they don't want to say anything because they don't want to feed into her paranoia.
Right.
Because just before that, and again, this is maybe where the rhino doesn't quite work is, if we got this bit of information earlier, it'd be more interesting. We get that line where Sean Ashmore's like, once she gets something into her head, it's really hard to convince her anything
came
otherwise.
Way too late in the game. Yeah. It should have been
That should have been in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly right.
She should have been the one who said, let's go here, because once she gets an idea in her head, she can't get it out.
Yeah, good one, dude.
And maybe the book is different. Maybe the book, because it's a book, you get more time.
I assume it would be.
Yeah.
Apparently, the big difference in the film and the book is that it's not a temple in the book. It's like a mine shaft. A hill with a shaft that you go down where the plant is.
Which I like. Stuck
on the hill. Oh, so they're down in there.
Well, they end up down in there. I believe they start on top of the hill.
Yeah.
And then...
That'd be better, because I find that setting is just not in itself actually scary. And we're in the daytime so often as well. Like, when the two girls went down in there, that's when the tension really ramps up, I think.
Yeah. Well, the director was like, hey, put it on a temple. And Scott was like, yeah, cool, man.
Yeah, okay.
I'll do that.
Hey, Smith. Yeah, Smith? We should put it on a temple, Smith.
Hey, Dad. It's me, your 15-year-old son.
So, yeah, I generally think the plant was, I actually, big tick for me for the making a plant scary, because I think that could so easily be cartoonish and shit.
Mm.
But no, it was hard to watch. And then, when it was inside of her, and then the next morning she gets up and is extricating it from herself and is just... Oh, covered in homemade slices. Disgusting.
Yep. Disgusting. One thing I thought was quite interesting about it too is this little social commentary where they're like, someone's going to come find us. And they're like, why? Why? And because we're Americans.
Yes.
Americans don't go me. I kind of like that. Mm. It's that they don't even know what they're doing because they don't. Because colonizers don't.
No.
They don't. They don't respect indigenous cultures. They don't respect that these guys are like, we've been dealing with this for a very long time and we've got it sorted out. And until you fuckhead archaeologists showed up, we were fine. Yeah. We had it under control.
It's the arrogance of it.
Yeah.
There are many things that are there undoing, but arrogance is a big one of them.
Yeah. Which, I don't mind that. But again, I think story-wise, that's a hard one to get on board with because you've got characters who are arrogant, so you generally don't like them. And then you also know that that's going to be this.
It's tragedy.
It's tragedy all the way. And it comes in so early and they even seem to realize it too early, other than Dr. Boy, who thinks he can save the world. And so it's sort of just, an experience of just waiting for the inevitable for them and for us.
Having heard that the book is populated with just arsehole characters, it makes me wonder if the movie put a foot in that camp, it didn't go all the way because they kind of don't. Like, the characters are annoying.
Yes.
But even the doctor one, he's not an arsehole.
He's not a bad dude. Yeah. He generally is trying
his intentions are good. He's trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the book is that guilty pleasure thing of arseholes have stumbled into this thing with their arrogance. Let's have fun watching them be tortured and get what's coming.
You're team Mayans in the book.
Right? Yeah. Whereas
you are in the film.
Yeah, you are. But the film doesn't quite lean in hard enough on that, I think.
Also, the ending is different in that the film, well, the version, we watched the unrated version, which I think is the only version you can watch. But in the original theatrical cut, when she drives away, she just drives away. There's no evidence that she's infected with a plant. She's just escaped.
Which is also crazy because, as we just spoke about, we know it's all over her. There's, the Mayans are doing this for a very good reason.
And we know how it works now. So we know that she's fucked. I kind of like the idea of her like taking this out and infecting them, fucking the world all up is kind of interesting. But surely she doesn't have, I don't know, I just think by the logic of the movie, she doesn't have enough time left to even get away.
There's a longer ending where she is dead and there's a caretaker moving through a graveyard whistling a song. He hears it being whistled back to him and he walks over and there's her grave covered in the red flowers.
Yeah.
And they're all whistling.
Yeah. And he's like reaches down.
And he reaches down to pick one up. So it's like, oh, we've doomed everybody. But the beat I was going to talk about when you were saying like maybe they made them slightly more sympathetic is I think they don't lean into the arsehole enough. They don't lean into what I think is a great bit of natural tension that would make it even more interesting and raise the stakes where she effectively cheats on her boyfriend the day before they go here.
Right.
And there's already a bit of tension there because it's like he wants to go to bed. She wants to party. Mm. He's moving. And her friend's like, yeah, she's not handling the fact that he's moving very well. Yeah. Like, there's a lot going on in their relationship. And they never quite juggle it. And then the only time they do, she starts confessing things to him. And he actually says, I think, quite a nice bit where he's like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't need to know.
Yeah. Whereas that should matter. That should have been a lot of the drive of the tension of the movie.
And for then him to say, I don't matter, that should be a big, like, nice. Mm. He loves her, but they're dying.
Yes. Yeah. It went the opposite way, but it's more satisfying because of it. All right, Tom. Tell us about this hand job.
Surely that falls into wisely or foolishly, right?
Let's go there. Did our character act wisely or foolishly?
No. Don't give a hand job there. That's the worst hand job of all time.
It has to be the worst cinema hand job I've ever seen.
I'd agree. It's got to be pretty bad. You're in a sweaty, awful tent.
With an audience.
You're literally like trapped on this thing.
Yeah.
Your mate has already gone and like shattered his legs or the guy who's
You're covered in plant shit.
Yeah.
You picked a guy up so incorrectly that you've sped up his death by
I forgot about that.
You're like greasy and sweaty.
Your best friend is sitting like 50 centimeters behind you.
Yes.
Very aware. Wide awake.
Because I thought it was the bet coming back.
Right.
But it's kind of, it's hinted at earlier in the film. No, because
you thought it was hinted at that the bet was paid already.
Because he walks in, they walk into the thing and Sean Ashmore's like got a strut to him and the guy's like, you're in a good mood. It's like, yeah, because he's just had a blowjob. Yeah. Like, that's what I took that to be as.
I agree, yeah. And I think they're even like, sorry,
there was a line.
Yeah. That's the, I don't know why you're getting a handy there, mate.
At what point, why in that moment are you thinking, I'll give him a reach around.
Well, I think what it's trying to do, but not necessarily achieving because it's such a weird thing and they don't really do anything else with it at this point, is that the plant's already in her brain.
Then they did not achieve that at all.
No. Wait, so the plant wants to give him a hand job?
Hey, the plant's like, I want to touch that dick.
Give me some of that. Like, it kind of looks plant-like. I want to get my little grip on it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And then, like, it's so awkward because after you come, you obviously cry for 10 minutes.
Natch.
So, like, you're doing that in front of a stranger? I don't know.
The clock, is he weeping dumb yet?
Who's the stranger?
Well, a friend.
Okay. Not a stranger.
Though. Yeah, a friend.
Yeah, a friend.
That's a real fucked up scenario.
Yeah, it's bad.
I don't like it.
No.
Anyway, that's my foolish. Sean, I believe you have a foolish moment.
Jesus fucking Christ.
You got so agitated. Go on.
The knife.
Yeah.
Singo has gone, I can't remember the character's name. She's gone mad at this point.
Yeah.
And which character comes up to her first? Is the boyfriend, Sean Ashmore?
No,
the doctor.
It's the doctor who goes first.
Doctor comes up. She's hysterical, swinging a blade around. Yeah. Stacy. And he just casually just wants to walk right up close to her, right in her space to try and calm her.
Yeah. Well, she's cutting her. That's pretty fucked up too, that whole thing.
Yeah, I know, but like,
truly awful. Yeah.
But his approach to her is ridiculous. Like, it's like, mate, this is so dumb. You're smarter than this. You've been smarter than this the whole movie.
Right.
Foolish. He immediately gets stabbed and you think, well, what a fuckhead.
Yeah.
And then the boyfriend, 20 seconds later, literally the exact same approach, the exact same method, the move is slow, right up in her space. He gets stabbed and it's like, what the fuck is this fucking movie?
Yeah.
At this point, I've been able to tolerate a lot of the bullshit that's been going on. Sure. There's been enough, a cool design, a cool setting, a cool premise, blah, blah, blah. There's enough to keep you along. And then it just, the ass fell out of it completely in the last 10 minutes.
You can have that if Sean Ashmore is the first one to approach it.
Yeah, because he loves her. So he's, I guess he's going to be a bit more clouded, but don't have the capable character.
Yeah.
Bad enough it happens once. Like, as soon as he was approaching her, I was like, what the fuck? What is he doing? And then the second guy does the exact same thing.
Right. Sean Ashmore's character, he's like, even if he loves her and wants to help her, he is literally just witnessed what happened if you go up to her? You need to give her some space right now.
Yeah.
When she gets something in her head, right, she's really hard to talk out of it.
I like that so much as like an idea for her character. Yeah. But like you guys said, it needed to come way earlier.
It came right before it had any kind of context.
It basically came, she had nothing to her character.
Yeah.
And then with 15 minutes to go in the movie, they went, let's fucking throw this in.
Yeah.
And it's a great idea, but like, fuck, it's wasted.
And even like her going, they decided that because he was giving some comfort to her mate,
yeah,
you're cheating on me. You're like, that literally came from nowhere.
Yeah. Well, I do like the idea that, again, they don't quite sell it, but she's like, I heard you having sex with her. And it's like, well, that's the plants.
The sound,
yeah. That's the plants pretending it. Or
but
it's the fact that there is...
But I also think we should have had a scene where the plant came up and made some sexy sounds. Like, yeah, true. We missed that scene.
Yep. Also, the plant's in her brain.
Yeah, I get,
yeah, but it's just not effective enough. The double stabbing, to me, is one of the dumber things we've experienced on this show, I think.
Yeah.
I could not fucking believe
unbelievable
what I was
watching
saying.
It. Yeah. You're like, no one would make that decision at that point.
It's like it would be in a parody movie.
Right.
Of like a bad horror situation. Yeah, yeah. Like, I could not fucking believe
it. If it was in a parody, you'd do it like 5 times.
Yeah.
Like, she'd just stab everyone, like, through everyone there. Yeah. Like, over and
Then they just keep walking up and go, hey, what's wrong? Bang, stabbed. And then the next one,
It was, someone gets up, gets stabbed the third time.
It basically was that. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I lost all respect for the movie at that point.
Because again, they make some dumb decisions, but they're also dumb. They're dehydrated. They're not eating enough. They're losing their minds at this plant. It's stressful and they're not competent in the space.
No.
But that's still just like such a leap of a logic. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
I am fine with plants that can mimic sound. I genuinely am.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that.
Oh, yeah. No, I got right into that. I thought that was a great idea.
Juicy.
Two people walking up and getting stabbed in the space of 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Hated it so much.
Yeah. I'll also say, I think, especially maybe like you said, they're dehydrated, they're desperate, they've got the plan in them, all this sort of stuff. But the way that Dr. Man goes to basically get himself killed in order to let his girlfriend get away.
Sure, why not?
Hang on, let's find out.
I'll stick with Dr. Man.
Yeah, who cares?
This movie
it is Jeff.
Matter. Well done. All right. The braid
again,
on this one.
Don't care. Thank you, though.
I actually think, like, if you're as smart as Dr. Boy is, right? He's a doctor. He understands, like, pathogens and how this sort of stuff can spread. I think you would go, well, we just all need to die. Like, the minds are right. We can't let this thing become the next fucking world-ending event. So we got to do the needful and just end things here, which is basically, from what I can tell, how the book finishes.
He has no arc, really.
No, he doesn't.
He goes against what would be a nice ending for his character and tries to trick them so that she can escape.
Right.
And even his plan to trick them is just dumb as fuck. Like,
yeah.
So the book is different in that he's like, we need to die. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. I generally think it is foolish to... Again, mostly for his character. For the other characters, they're so infected. They just want to get away. They're scared. I can understand that. But for him, who's like so logic over emotion the whole way through, I really feel like when it's just down to him and his girlfriend, and they're both so fucked by that point anyway, that he just goes, hey, let's do what we have to. We'll be unsung heroes.
Let's just die here together.
Yeah.
That'll be nice.
Like, to me,
in his mind, how does he think she's going to escape anyway? She shouldn't have escaped.
She shouldn't have escaped.
She does not really have a head start.
But in so doing, you've fucking doomed everybody, cunts.
Selfish.
Like, very selfish, right?
Yeah.
So for me, that's where I was like a bit, I didn't want her to get away.
That felt like a studio ending to me. Like,
well, they did change the ending from the book, apparently. I don't know what the book ending is, but they did
change.
So
literally, I think he slits his wrists on the, like he does it in front of the Mayans to let them know that he's doing what he has to or something like that.
And they're like, respect.
Yeah.
Look, if you live in Australia and listen to the show and want a copy of The Ruins, reach out to the show.
You're never going to read it?
I don't think I will. It just sounds really fun. Like, yeah, it sounds depressing.
It's very bleak.
It's not a Sean Carney.
So, yeah, basically they did... There's a reason why there's like 3 endings to this plus the book one, where they just did screenings for audiences and got their gauged what they... So I don't think they even ever filmed the Sling the Wrist one, because basically the studio's like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
Like,
I love that. That's a bummer, dude. That's on the studio for being idiots for greenlighting a movie based on a book that wasn't finished.
Yeah, they just had like the outline, I think, is what they...
This is where the studio turns to Ben Stiller and says, you can't have friends anymore.
I don't see if I can find the ending on Wikipedia.
You do that. And then obviously, we've got the multiple endings. So there's the initial cinema screening was her driving away. We don't know she's infected, even though logic says, of course she fucking is. And then there's the uncut one where we see oh, she is the one that we watched. Oh, look, there's something in her head, and that's cut two. And then there's the third one with obviously what Tom described before, the cemetery guy coming and seeing them. So, like, they really didn't know how to end this movie is what I'm getting from this. Like, and to be fair, I think the only ending that really works and sticks true to the theme, if we can even call it that, but at least the setup is like, yeah, they have to die. That's really the only ending I can see that works for me.
Yeah.
It's not a satisfying one. I still say that. Like, I think, unfortunately, he's made a premise where there's no good ending.
No. It's a feel-bad story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you say at the start that the studio greenlit it before the book had even been written?
Yeah, it had not been finished yet.
Yeah, well, that screams studio like the vibe of it, the idea, but they're not going to commit to what the author actually wants to do with it.
Right.
So, like, people like this book. They think it's good. They're not even going to entertain that. It's just sort of like, what do we want? And that sort of stuff shits me. Sometimes you need to change a book for an adaptation to make it work better, to make it more cinematic. It sounds like no.
So I've just read just a section of what happens in the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is mammothly different.
Okay.
Amy dies. That's Jenna Malone's character.
Yeah.
She dies being choked from the inside out by the vines. Her and Jeff have a massive argument about the cheating thing. She storms off. He storms off to look after the Greek guy who is not dead.
Oh, okay.
And she is like vomiting and crying and calls out to him, but he just assumes she's drunk and ridiculous because they all drink the tequila.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They find her later with vines in her throat. The vines have basically choked her in her own vomit. They determine what they're going to do with their body. And then every night after that, they hear Amy calling out to them.
Whoa, but that's the vines. Good. That's good.
There's a plot point where Jeff's like, should we bury her or should we keep her body in case we need to eat it?
Oh, Jeff, brother.
Whoa.
I think I need to read the book.
I know a guy with a copy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, amazing. All right, boys. How would we do with this situation?
I mean, we have to
touch the vines, right? Kick
this stone. I guess we have to. Yeah. It's so frustrating because I don't want to be
disrespectful.
Those cunts. Yes.
Yeah. Well, one of us has to touch the vines because that's the thing. Amy touches them.
By accident, then they get, I guess. Yeah. Can we at least give ourselves that much respect? Yes.
We've gone there. We touch it by accident. They're like, get away. And we step back like, whoa. Oh, no, we've touched them.
Yeah.
We'd work out pretty quickly that...
I think we'd work it out way quicker. Like, they didn't seem to really figure it out. It
took a long time, yeah.
Do we just cop the death from the mines and be like, yeah, just shoot us in the head?
Genuinely, I feel like that's
no,
the
I
best
think
option.
We would, I think, initially retreat up to the top.
Yeah, yep.
But then pretty quickly we're figuring out, oh, yeah, this is what the situation is. We're fucked. And then, yeah, it's probably
do
easiest
to just
walk
down. Do we offer
to
burn
down.
The vines and then go down and be like, pop that's a bullet here?
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm surprised no one tried to burn them.
Yeah, is there
maybe
a way...
Maybe they have.
There's a lot of vines.
They probably should have shown that.
Yeah, I'm shocked they didn't have a scene where they try and light them on fire.
Yeah, like salt the shit out of them as well.
Well, you see the ring of salt.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you can salt them into that, why can't you salt them slowly further in? And
no, but like, I get why maybe they don't show those guys do it because perhaps they probably have at some point tried to do it. Because I think logically that's what you would do, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But for the Americans to not give it a crack is crazy to me. Yeah,
surely they've got materials to make a fire.
Yeah, even not just make one of them a fucking smoker or something. Like, give them that easy option.
Yeah.
They never have a fire even to like keep, I guess they don't need to keep warm. It's probably very fucking hot even at night.
Well, to be fair, them filming it, they filmed it obviously in Oz, but they did it in winter.
They did have to wear coats.
They not only have to wear coats, they had to keep spraying them with oil and water to make it look like they were sweaty.
That would have smelled so delicious. Just like people up on a tower smelling like pizza cooking.
Remind me, did they have torches and shit, like headlights and stuff like
that?
No,
they have a small...
Do they have a fire?
No, yeah, they do have the fire, but they use it up pretty quickly with the whiskey because he uses it to burn the base of the fry pan so he can cauterize it. I love that he keeps telling him, but he can't feel it. He's just reacting. No, it sounded like he could fucking feel it, Jeffrey.
Feel it, dude.
I don't know why he thought he wouldn't feel
it. No, crazy.
Makes sense that he's a cannibal in the book.
Terrible doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
That's his girlfriend, too, that he wants to eat in the book.
Amazing.
Anyway.
Wow.
I think I've got to read it. Yeah. I'm going to borrow it off a good friend.
That's, situations change people, mate.
Cannibalism is is definitely one of the things in any movie, horror, otherwise.
I'm about to be like, cannibalism is just not something I can get behind.
I can't get behind it. I really...
It's really grotty.
I can't imagine... I would genuinely feel like I would rather die. I really struggle with...
If I told you this crazy fact, that Amanda knows somebody who might have cooked, like accidentally cut a bit of their finger off while cooking.
Right.
And then be like... I wonder.
That's disgusting.
And fried it up and ate it.
It's not great, but I would rather eat a piece of myself than a piece of either of you.
That's disgusting.
Oh, How rude is that? If I prepared a succulent meal of my hand,
I could not do it.
No.
You can pay me enough money, Tom.
It's a disgrace. It's disgusting.
True. Like, yeah, it's one of those things where it's just
there's a film I want to watch called Society of the Snow.
Right.
Which I've heard is really good. I like the director of it. It is about a plane crash and I believe cannibalism.
Yeah.
So I can't get behind it. I can't. I don't want to watch it.
One of the things that really makes me turn my stomach was this film we fucking watched at uni together.
Band Demon's Land.
I missed
a chunk of that movie because a girl fainted in my lap.
Yeah. It's a fairly grot movie. It's not worth a watch.
Tom was a hero that day.
Yeah. I wish I'd been a hero so I could have got out of watching.
Because that girl fainted and I think we were sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
And I was like shocked. I was like, what the hell do we do? And Tom just went into like fucking.
To be fair, this girl.
First aid mode.
This girl looked across, saw a handsome
Tom.
That's
right.
And it was like, oh no, I'm swooning.
Yeah. It was really weird. She fainted and pulled my pants down at the same time.
And gave me the most uncomfortable hand job you've ever seen in your life.
And I was Jenna Malone watching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's how we became friends.
And that's what we would do in this situation.
Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Hand jobs for days.
A little circle jerk while we wait to die.
For the inevitable death. Maybe one get the plant come. Involved. Why not? Let's
one
see
last come before death.
Imagine if come was the solution to stopping the plant.
Well, they don't know.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Only one way to find out.
Yeah. On that note, that is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scary listeners like this show would like to help us out, you can, of course, join our Patreon. Big thanks to our patrons who have been supporting us for over a whole year now. Truly, we can't tell you how much we appreciate that. All the bonus stuff we get to put out, including Small Screen Scares, IMDb Detective, there's some Q&A episodes, there's eye cramps, there's all our regular episodes, that's free. We love doing all of it. So yeah, big thanks to all you guys for that. And if you'd like to join, it's $5, $5 Australian, which is less than everybody except, I think, New Zealand. Sorry, New Zealand.
Yeah, it's $800 there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, feel free to check it out and join up if you can. Otherwise, you can leave us a review wherever you listen. That helps us a bunch and makes us feel very, very special. Or you can send us an email at 3scaredboys@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to contact us on socials, we are Scaredy Boys or at Scaredy Boys Podcast. And individually, I'm at DamienRob.Writer.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone. Wait, so the plant wants to give him a hand job?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.